Welcome to the Ages of Rock podcast with your hosts, Bill Algy, Dennis Talbot, and Alan Tate. We are three guys who have one thing in common, a love of rock and roll. Our goal is to talk about all things rock. We hope you find this show intriguing, funny, and occasionally highly opinionated. Enjoy.
Hey, welcome back to the Ages of Rock podcast. Bill, Dennis, and Alan are back together again. It's been a little while since we've all kind of been together. And we brought along some friends. So we brought along Robert Anthony Robinson and the band. So, Robert, why don't you introduce those fellas you got hanging out there with you in the living room?
Eddie Nispolia, playing the bass guitar.
Chris Olney. Thank you very much.
And in that corner, playing the other guitar. And in this corner, playing the xylophone, the marimba, and the djembe.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
That too. He plays a little bit of drums on side.
He's a mime. All right. So in case anybody wasn't able to hear there, because it was a little dicey. So we have Chris Onley on bass and vocals, David Kendall on drums and vocals, and Brian McGrew on guitar. Is that right?
That is correct.
Yep. Yeah. And we have Robert.
Yep. Close enough.
All right. We'll get close anyway. That is I'm going to tell you, that's a pretty badass graphic. I'm going to host that up there. That'll be the
Thank
graphic we use. That is pretty damn cool, man.
It is cool.
Thank you very much. I modeled that tongue. It was a cold day. We're actually coming back from Salem, Oregon, and we decided to pull over. I had to pee really bad. And we pulled over and they said, "Hey, before I take a pee, will you take a picture of my tongue real quick?" And so the guy was like, "Sure." And then I looked over because there's some cattle farms and so forth. And I saw some barbed wire on the ground. And so I went over and I grabbed this barbed wire. I said, "Dude, take a picture of my tongue." And I wrapped around that. And he took a picture and the rest is history.
Wow. Man. Wow.
These guys never knew that. I just
that's an impressive made up story.
Thank you. Well, you know,
does that story change every now and then? Does it a little bit? It's like, yeah.
Being that you were taking a leak, it's a good thing you didn't wrap that barbed wire someplace else. That would have maybe hurt.
I didn't say that wasn't my first thought. I gotta sell this thing, dude. There's kids buying this, moms, grandmas, and shit. I mean, give me a break.
The
core came up. That's the special edition. You get that inner sleeve.
That's for the super fans. I give them the sleeve.
There you go. The rock world has completely changed now. We are like, now we're just wrapping shit up in barbed wire because, you know.
Why not?
Yeah, no,
we tried lace. I mean, we tried. Well, I tried stuff.
You know, back in the day, you know, you could wear some spandex and stuff like that. It seemed to be the trick, but now we're just on barbed wire all, yeah. You know, full
spandex.
On.
Once they've seen your ween, then that's pretty much where do you go from there?
Barbed wire. Those are all our swag bags.
There you go. That and socks. Don't ask any questions.
That is very true.
I'd be doing that and they'd be like, "Oh, this is a comedy album." There you go.
All full of short stories.
Short stories. Like, oh my God.
Ramones short songs.
Don't give me stories.
Some of them are true.
All right. So, Robert, talk to us about the band and kind of how you guys got together and that kind of stuff.
Oh, well, I just got back from the NOM. It was about 72 and I was just trying to get my head together. No, I take that back. I was never in the NOM. The NAM show, I've been dying to go there. But,
oh, yeah, that's close.
Anyway, actually, Dave has a really good story about how he and I hooked up. And just remember this, that what he's about to tell you, it's not entirely true, but he has a great version of it.
We cannot hear Dave at all.
Yeah.
I don't know what. Yeah, I don't know if Dave's has a problem.
Anything now?
No.
Weird. What?
No.
He's the loudest guy in this thing.
Hello.
Hey, there we go.
There. Oh, that's got to be direct. Yeah,
that's, yeah, man, we've been laying down our best stuff in there.
That's crazy. I was right there, man. Can we start over again? Because I had some hilarious stuff that you'd probably miss in the first spot.
But we just thought you were a mime, so it was really funny. It worked. It's okay.
Okay, I'm gonna make this super short. So Robert and I have known each other for a long time. His band, my band back in the day, used to do gigs together, and years passed. I moved down to California, did my thing down there for years. He was doing his thing up here. And when I moved back, we would periodically see each other or write each other or talk to each other and constantly, dude, call me when, you know, call me if you need somebody to play drums, call me. And so he would then not call me. And then he would, hold on. I know you're going to have a different perspective, but I'm not lying. And then it wasn't entirely his fault, because he would try to reach out and then I wouldn't get back to him. And then I would reach out. And so long story short is, I'm at a club one night, very good friend of mine walks up to me and says, "Hey, did you hear that I'm playing with Robert Anthony Robinson now?" After my blood stopped, I'm kidding, my blood wasn't boiling. I was like, "Oh, that's great. I'm happy for you." And then the next time I saw Robert, I came close to murdering him, but he's actually much tougher than I am. So I just kind of laid down and took it. Here we go. And then, you know, things just didn't work out with that drummer. I ended up coming into the fold, and we started working on the stuff, and that's it. That's the story. So I've known this guy for way too long. God love him.
That's the only true part of this.
That's true.
Did you hear any of that?
Did that all come across?
Yeah, we heard all of it. Yep. I was waiting to figure out if you guys had some bonding moment with barbed wire. I was just waiting for that. I thought that maybe that was the
bonding moment with barbed wire. Hey, we're playing out of town this weekend. You just ruined my fucking time. Thanks so much. Appreciate that shit. Thanks so much.
So you guys are from the Pacific Northwest, is that right? So you're up in the Seattle area or Washington or somewhere
Everybody says Pacific Northwest. The first thing they think of Seattle. In fact, they did some stuff. And to us, it's kind of a big deal. And they put from Seattle, Washington. No, we actually, we're right now in Vancouver, Washington, which is
near Portland.
It's a bedroom community of Seattle, if you will.
We are right across.
Like, yep, never heard of it. I don't know
what
that is. Nope. 3 hours south of Seattle. How's that?
Cool. Yeah. We just couldn't hear him again.
Like, no.
Mm-hmm. No, the mic does not like him.
Where is this mic?
Yeah.
I think the mic is right here.
I think so.
Is that it?
Yep.
Yeah. I think that's it. You guys have to put your face right here, I think. Yeah. Put your mouth right here. I think that's going to work the best. You must enunciate.
Obviously, you're not using a stage mic.
We're sitting in my studio right now, and I probably have $1 million worth of shit in here. I'm not using any of it. That's genius.
You wouldn't be the first time that this would not be the first time that's happened, just so you know. All right. So talk to us a little bit about the record, Robert. So tell us about how it came about. What was driving force behind it?
The driving force was, I had a bunch of guys at the time that could not fucking learn the song to save their lives. They could not. There was just a lot of things that's why I got these guys. These guys are like freaking supermen, right? The guys I had before, super frustrating. No one's supposed to hear an interview. And plus they're super fucking handsome, and that doesn't hurt at all. I mean, you know, look at me. Actually, it's not too bad. Anyway. So I had these songs kicking around for a little bit, and I decided, you know, I only put something out when I have a bunch of songs that kind of sound like they go together. Because honestly, in my fat, stupid brain, I've got like 4 or 5 different albums, all different stuff. I got a hip-hop album. I got a pop-funk album from my last band. I've got a whole nother RAR light album, these guys call it. I got all this freaking music. So I like to release it when I get a clutch of songs that sound the same or actually like they go together. Not the same, because I can't write a same song to save my life. but sound like they go together. And so I had this clutch of songs that I was just really excited to record it. I tried to get the band at the time on board, and they just was not, you know, they were not doing it. So we did it. We recorded the album, and it came out like that. The songs kind of, the songs actually, you know, for me, the music comes first, and then the lyrics just kind of, they just, I just barf them out. You know, it's weird how it all happens. The lyrics always come afterwards, but some of the songs took on some different meanings, like Truth, the single, took on a lot of different meanings because it was, it happened pre-COVID. I've been sitting on this record for a couple years, and then COVID happened. And put a stick in our spokes again, you know, and we were finally able to see the light at the end of the tunnel and put the record out. Almost put the record out, but we decided to make a video. And so we made the Truth video. I sent you guys that video, right? I sent you the video. We made that video. And then the guy that recorded the video for us, Dan Pred, amazing, amazing videographer. He sent us to some buddies of his. I showed it to some people, and all of a sudden, boom, we got five or six offers, record deals. And we were like, wow, you know? And so we made the choice that was best for us, and we got to put the record out, and now you guys are hearing it. And so we're doing this. This just feels so right now. I'm just feeling this with you and you.
It feels like a date.
Well, you know, you were talking about making the music video. Right, you were talking about making the music video. You spoke a little bit about the person who did it. What kind of production went into making that video? Because, you know, I watched that video a few times, and I think that is probably one of the better produced videos from, and pardon my terminology here if it's incorrect, but from a somewhat independent artist. That was that's a well-produced video, a lot better
Thank
than...
You. A lot. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. It's a combination of the videographer, obviously, Dan, the concept and the location. Now, we had played at a club called Erebus in Kelso, Washington. Amazing club. I mean, that kind of club needs to be in a big city somewhere. He's in Kelso. It's a small city. He's pulling fans together. He's pulling the scene together. It's really awesome what he's doing over there. Dan Stacey, big up to you. Anyway, so the club is amazing. All that stuff you see in there, all the skulls and all that weird stuff in there, that's in the club. Dan, he went there like a day ahead just to get footage of the club itself. And so all those little scenes with all that weird stuff, the altars and all that shit, that's the club. That's how it sits in nature right now. And the rest of it was just us acting like idiots on stage with a bunch of lights and shit and shaky cameras and shit. And that was it.
I thought that was mostly claymation.
Some of it was. Okay. Me singing and the guitar solo. I don't actually play the guitar.
Lots of softening. Softening.
Yeah.
Yes.
Look at my age lines. I've got the Joan Collins gauze lights every time they film me.
I feel like a baby. I've had a beard for a while, and we went back to masks at work, and I'm like, on, you know what? I'm shaving that fucker off and going back to baby. we're doing that again. Anyway, one thing I do love about being on this show and doing this podcast is the fact of getting or being introduced to music that I usually would not find. You know, around here, our radio stations suck. There's nothing that's going to play anything like that progressive, and when you sent us you sent us the thing saying, hey, here's the video, watch the video, and then we got the Dropbox, you know, on the songs. I started listening to the songs, and I'm like, you know, at first I'm like, that's kind of a little bit out of my box where I usually listen to, but then your stuff goes all over the spectrum. That's one thing I like. And that's one thing I loved about it. And the thing was, I kept listening to the song, and I'm like, oh man, I think that's one of my favorite songs. And then the next one would come on. I'm like, oh man, I think that's a favorite one. there was not a skipper in the bunch. And I said, I like the way I was just like, well, what's going to be next? You know, what are they going to do next? And, you know, for me, I think that like, This Is Going to Hurt, that's one of my favorites. Cause it's got that. It's got this kind of
that almost might be the next single.
Okay. But one thing I like about that song is I'm kind of a closet 80s guy. I like some of that 80s kind of overproduction stuff, and it has that little bit of edge to it with the other stuff mixed in.
We're old, so yeah.
Right. And Break It All Again is a great song. Blood in the Water is odd, but I was just like, I really like that. The one thing I did like too, though, and on it's on Truth, is who you put that, like when you get into your chorus, you've got that guitar that's just, man, just in your face, that rhythm that's playing during the chorus. It's like, and it comes out of nowhere, and then it's almost center in the speaker. You know what I'm saying? I had earphones on, right, and it's just sitting there, and it's just almost too loud. But being a guitar player, I'm like, I like that. It's like, how did he talk himself into doing that? Because, you know, he's, and then like I said, the other thing I do like about all these songs, and I don't know if it's the direct or way to say it, but the call and response. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
When you're singing this thing, and then you got that backup calling it the same thing, but it's kind of off center or almost megaphone-ish kind of sound, you know. I think it's spectacular. Like I said, this has been one of the, and like I said, I like coming across stuff like this because I wouldn't have found it on my own, and I appreciate you sending it to us because, like I said, now is this thing available on vinyl? I want to get some.
our distributor actually has a connection to get vinyl. We're talking about vinyl, but we're doing awesome. We're trying not to blow our load so early.
I know.
You
know? Right.
We're trying to build, and we're trying to build the freeway and not just a bunch of fake streams and fake views and all that crap and find actual people. So it's me and the rest of the guys. We're going out, we're pounding the pavement. I'm talking to folks like you. We're doing stuff like this. Right. You know, sending an email, say, hey, check out my record. I just put it out. And that way, that's a real fucking connection, I think.
Yeah.
You know, talking to somebody that's not two guys with 100 computers, you know, doing 3-second views on your video. There you go. Maybe you're $500. That's your, 10,000 views and all that. That's not real.
No, I was really, really, really impressed. Like I said, it was one of those things where
Thank you so much.
We get a lot of stuff and not all of it is at that level.
Thank you.
I think we're too good for vinyl. I think we're going to go straight for leather.
There you go. So,
there is that.
We live them.
You guys are doing retro, right? You're just going to go wait for 8-tracks to come back around.
Why the fuck not? There's a shit show out there right now, right?
Hey, you never know, man. I wouldn't be surprised. You know, cassettes are coming back. And
I know. They've got these USB cassettes, too. I was like, God, I should get a bunch of those. You know,
but who has a cassette player?
USB. It's crazy. I know. Well, it's not a real cassette. It's got a USB in it.
Oh, okay.
Thumb drive. It flips out of the bottom and you just plug it into your computer.
Yeah, they are making some cassettes though too. It's just kind of cool.
I can't even believe it. That's crazy. I don't have a cassette player. Do you have a cassette player?
I'm glad that I hung on to mine. Yeah.
I have a cassette deck that I use to.
It's in my garage.
Wow.
I have a cassette player that I use to import music into my computer.
Really?
Occasionally, someone has a cassette that they want digitized. You know. Speaking of pounding the pavement. We do have your song Truth on A to Z Radio playing as a fresh cut, which is new music to our station. You're one of us now.
One of us.
And also, speaking of pounding the pavement, do you guys have any tour plans?
Oh, man, do we? We the COVID put a stick in our spokes big time. We were going to tour. The whole thing was supposed to happen.
Does that count?
Yeah. What was that?
Bar crawl. We're going to do a bar crawl next weekend. Does that count?
Absolutely, man. Anytime you can get somebody out there. You know, people are paying big money to see bands in big arenas and crap like that. And, you know, that's all fine and dandy. But sometimes I just like to go find a band I've maybe never heard of and just check them out in a bar. And
I love new music. Music is what it's all about. I mean, I hate to say it. I play in a cover band. I also play in a tribute band, but the original band I played, I have a couple original bands, and that's all about original music. It's about new music. I mean, all the tribute bands, original bands at one point, all the cover bands, those are all original bands. You know, it's like this culture developed, especially out here where we are. The tribute bands are huge out here. It's ridiculous how big they are. And people would rather, it's like their musical taste stopped developing in their teens, right? I think that's an actual scientific fact. But out here, it seems really super prevalent. So tributes are huge out here. So it's kind of a struggle sometimes to be an original act and find a crowd or find people. You know, at this point, I figure you put the music out and it will find people. You know, you put it out there like you guys really like a lot of the same things I like about the music. And that kind of speaks to all original music. There's so many different things that's not the formula, you know, that you're forced to listen to on the radio and all that stuff. You know, it's just, we got to stick together, man.
It seems to me too, like you get some original bands that come out, but they don't really have an original idea. It's like, no, you really liked Alice in Chains a lot and everything you made sounds like Alice in Chains. You know what I'm saying? They don't.
Right.
That's one thing I liked about this the stuff that you sent me. I mean, it just goes all over the spectrum. You know,
if you can hear the influences, right?
And if it's not your cup of tea, wait till the next song. This one probably will be. You know,
exactly. So you're speaking of influences, tell us a little bit about your influences. I'm stepping on my tongue here.
Geez, I think we all actually kind of have different influences.
Hey, when you turn your face away from the microphone, we can't hear you at all.
Can you hear me now?
Barely.
What is up with my voice? In the middle. Okay, I'm going to be really close.
There you go.
Terrible. I'm like terrible that close. It's funny because the a lot of our influences were actually the same. I mean, I'm a drummer, so when I was young, it was all about, you know, Neil Peart, and Emerson, Lake and Palmer, and you know, I was super into progressive rock. I loved Kansas. I love, you know, and then I got super. I know I'm going.
You got to make us sound younger than that.
Oh, I'm sorry, younger. Oh yeah, I absolutely love. I was super influenced by Travis Barker. Thank you. I'll be here all week. But for some reason, one of my metal band back in the year 1999 took off.
Gargoyle. You remember Gargoyle?
Gargoyle. I've heard that name.
Look them up. Of course you have. These guys were freaking about to blow up like Supernova.
That was a long time ago. But, you know, after that, I started to get into really, really heavy stuff. I was obviously in a Slayer and Metallica and Megadeth and Exodus and Anthrax and anything that was super heavy. I was totally on board for a long time. And then, you know, and so over the years, my influences kind of shifted. And then I got into super melodic stuff and I just couldn't get enough of like King's X. And I couldn't get enough of like Seven Dust and King's X and, you know, King Diamond. If it had kind of a progressive melodic kind of super heavy thing, I was completely,
as long as the bands had the word King in it.
King Crimson. I know. I didn't look. King. I didn't get that.
What about Queen?
I loved Queen.
I saw Queen, dude. Saw them live. It was amazing. I'm sorry. Okay, now you guys again.
So that's my influence. And the thing, you guys simmer down. I'm having to scold my band. But the thing that I loved about Robert when I heard it was that. It had a little bit of like all of my favorite bands in it from all of these years. And don't ever tell him I said this, but I think his voice is just ridiculous. I think he's been blessed with this. Like he's able to sing, you know, he can do the scream if he wants to. He's super soulful. He's just a really incredible vocalist. And I love the songs. And so my influences from the past, I think we just kind of came together and it was just on, you know. So that's where I'm from. Now I'm gonna give somebody else a chance. Go.
And Brian. I like music. it's good.
bagpipes, accordion, all good. No, actually,
that's why we don't.
I'm kind of following along with a lot of that. You know, I listen to, you know, metal, Beatles and melodic stuff, and Black Sabbath. That's, you know, Maiden and Judas Priest. Those are all like a lot of my influences too. But I also like a lot of old 70s yacht rock too. So I don't know. I've got some very weird, weird. And I do like the bagpipes. I am not kidding about that. Hey, thank you, Captain. Captain.
I did a radio show of yacht rock. So anyway.
And then I've got a bit of, you know, quite a bit of a metal background, but a lot of pop. You know, I grew up on AM radio. I guess I'm aging myself there. But, you know, and that was one of the things that drew me to Robert's band as well. I mean, anything that's got a heavy groove to it, but it's got good melodic sense. I mean, that I can walk out of there singing it afterwards, you know, just humming and singing it, that it's catchy. That's what drew me in. Yes, sold it. So that's me.
Brian didn't tell you this, but he actually plays accordion.
He's
multi-talented. You know, in the words of the famous Tom Waits, a gentleman is a man who plays the accordion, but doesn't. No, I screwed that up. A gentleman is a man who can play the accordion, but doesn't. So yeah, you can fix that in post, right? Where is this post?
There's no post.
We do not. There is no post.
There's no post. We don't.
The whole shit show gets released.
I'm signing off. Have you? We got a match. Can you?
We forgot to tell you. We don't clean up jack shit. So.
Well, fuck.
Unless it's a legal issue that, or somebody, or you'll get shot for saying something, we'll maybe work something out. But other than that, it's all on there, brother.
Okay, I got a question before we go any further. Where did you get the Black Star Rider T-shirt?
Oh my gosh, I'm a huge Thin Lizzy fan. So when the Black Star Riders came out, I mean, I got on board from their first album, and I just was an instant fan because, you know, it sounds a lot like Thin Lizzy. You know, a couple of the, you know, one of the original members from Thin Lizzy in there, Scott Gorham, and got to actually finally see them when they came to the U.S. here about 3 or 4 years ago. And I got this at the concert, but I was actually wearing a Phil Lynott shirt there, and I was third row, and they looked at me and they're like, yeah. So that was a proud moment for me.
Cool. That's a great T-shirt. I just that's a band I got turned on to off the show here. We had somebody on the show, and I can't remember who.
Yeah, we had the guitar player.
Scott Gorham.
Isn't it terrible? Come on, Alan.
Is it Scott Gorham?
No.
No, we had Damon Johnston on.
Yeah, Damon Johnson. Damon Johnson. Yeah. There you go. Thank you, Alan.
I couldn't think of his name. Say
Damon Johnson.
I was looking real stupid there.
I was just letting you hang.
I was hanging myself hard too. I was like,
well, Damon Johnson came on the Thin Lizzy scene when they're doing live shows here, probably about 10-15 years ago.
No,
but he's from Brother Kane. He's the singer, guitar player from Brother Kane. If you remember them,
yeah.
So.
He also played guitar for Alice Cooper for a while.
Yes, he did.
Yep.
Hey, Robert? No.
Yeah.
And now Kane Roberts is coming back. Did we just do like a seven-degree thing there?
Seven degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Isn't it 6 degrees? You got one too many degrees.
I don't know. However many degrees.
Yeah, Neil Strauss actually left. That's why he came back.
Yep.
Playing with Demi.
Boy, is she disgusting, huh? Woo!
You know, I've seen her a couple of times. It was horrible, but I went.
Best thighs and rock and roll. Sorry.
Those horrible leather pants. Oh my God. She should just rip them off. You know?
Was it you and I that got to see her when she cut her head or whatever that she was bleeding that one night? Was that you and I at that show?
I don't remember. Don't know.
I was at the Evansville show when she got hit in the face with a microphone.
Yeah, she gets beat up on the house tour.
That's probably why she quit.
She should be a pro wrestler. Oh. I'd buy tickets for that.
Yeah.
I don't know why
you all buy tickets for that.
Yeah, no kidding. No, I wouldn't, because I just don't like wrestling. Sorry. So there you go. I got.
Did any of you guys think this was right about now. Wrestling at all? Nobody else thought this was about wrestling, Dennis. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got off track. I just don't like wrestling.
Yeah. So he's the weird one. Yeah.
But yeah. I do like. I
sorry.
Like,
that's right.
I like needing them.
We take turns being the weird one.
We don't.
So are you doing anything writing for your next album or next EP or what you got coming up?
Oh my God, I'm glad you asked. At the time this was released, we are almost done with the brand new record. I mean, the brand new one, it's been so close to being done. I'm even adding songs to it. The new album is the next level. I like this. This was great. But this album, like I said, I was sitting on it with COVID too. This album is probably 4 years old by this point. At least. So the new one is the next level. I actually started playing 8-string and recorded this one with the 8-string. So it's got all those low extended range frequencies. It's like, I don't know, if someone were to open your mouth and grab your tongue and kick you in the nards at the same time. Yeah, it's kind of like that. It doesn't sound good, but when it happens to your ears, it's really fantastic.
I'm gonna take your word.
I'd let Nina. I'd let Nina do that to me.
Oh man, I would let her do that to me. I'd wear her ass like a hat.
Hopefully, she's not watching this.
Yeah. No, she's not watching.
I promise you, she's not.
Like, she gives two shits about us.
Yeah. You know what? We'll post this and we'll put her name and tag her and then see if she watches it and then see if any of us are ever allowed to go to another show.
She's like, who? That'd be good for some streams.
She's like, who's talking about me? Oh God. You know,
we'll just ask her politely if you'd like to come on the show and clear the air.
Yeah.
Be glad to have you on.
Oh, that'd be great.
Hey, Nina, would you like to have your ass worn as a hat?
Our show?
We have a dress. We have a dress
code. I'm just going to tell you guys, I don't know if y'all have seen her boyfriend.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure he's.
He will fuck you up.
Oh, sure. I'm sure he's ginormous.
It's like, you come on the show.
I saw her solo show in Ohio last year, and he's the drummer. And this dude has got tree trunks for arms. Oh, my gosh. I'd be scared. Wow. I'd be scared to even say hi to that guy.
No kidding, huh?
He's pretty solid.
There's like there's six of us, right? Seven?
Yeah.
Seven of us? I mean, surely God, we can take it. Seven.
So you're saying there's a chance.
That's the greatest line ever.
Robert knows karate.
I went to high school with that fucker.
So Robert, I have a question. So you reached out to us. You reached out to the. So how did you find us?
Oh Jesus, criminy!
Make some shit up too.
Make it sound really good.
So
we were talking with our good friend Jeff Pilson, and
yes,
no. Actually, I've never met Jeff Pilson. I after the restraining order, I just kind of let go of that. But I just come down from Mount Everest, right? We'd already lost two guys. We lost a Sherpa. We lost a donkey. And I was thinking about, God, can I keep doing this for the rest of my life? I can't. I said, you know what? I'm going to form a band and reach out to radio stations and see if they'll play my stupid songs. I think, you know what? That's fucking genius. Long story short, here I am with you fuckers. And we're talking about this. And yeah, you're not buying that. I am. Oh, yeah. Have I answered any questions? No. I found you guys. I went down. I was going down the rabbit hole, and I just had some recommendations. I think you guys actually ended up, you featured some music from some friends of mine. And they just gave me reviews, right? Reviews about you guys. And they were like, yeah, these guys are fucking cooler than shit. You should get a hold of them. Send your stuff. They might play it. You never know. And on that, basically, that you guys were cool as shit, which it turns out you are, and that you would play my shit, which is it turns out you are. It was fantastic. So for me, it was word of mouth. I mean, I don't know if you guys have some sort of big promo thing that you're doing or something, but it was word of mouth. I wish I could remember. There's there's quite a few bands actually blowing up around here, doing really well. And we're all just kind of, you know, supporting each other as we go up and we get more opportunities and stuff like that. It was one of them. I couldn't remember exactly who it was, but I think it was more than one band. And they said, check them out. I was like, okay, done and done. I reached out and everything they said was right.
Yeah, it's word of the mouth, and it's also cash. Man, cash talks a lot. You know, it's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, you spend millions of dollars, and you get like 8 fans. It's awesome.
Right. Speaking of which, don't cash that check I sent you yet.
Okay.
Give it like 7 days, 7 to 9 days, they said. So,
and that'll be fine. If it doesn't go through the first time, try it again.
And then just deposit it. Don't take the cash.
Don't rubber it till the third. Don't cash it to the third Thursday of next week.
That's right.
Yep.
That is correct.
All right, Robert, where can people find your stuff, man? This is your time to pimp your shit.
We're available everywhere. We're with the Sony Orchard and Von Artist. They distribute our album. We're in Japan. We are freaking everywhere. You can go to Amazon. You can go to Deezer. You can go to, what's the other one? Help me out. Spotify. Oh, no. Oh. What happened?
Nothing.
No, we're good.
You're still here.
Hey.
We still see you.
Stupid fingers and buttons. So pretty much everywhere that you can stream. Also, we have all kinds of stuff available on our website. We just got these new super cool t-shirts. They say, do it for the moms, you know, because we're no spring chicken. You know, moms are a very untapped resource. So, anyway, you can get that on our website, robertanthonyrobinson.com. We're all over the Facebook. We got the Instagram. We're on the Twitter. And like I said, any other streaming outlet you can find, we're there.
Everywhere. I do want to correct something that you just said. You said moms that are untapped resources. Obviously, if they're moms, they've been tapped.
Thank you. So you caught that, did you?
Yeah, he's like,
but they're ready to go. You know what I'm saying?
You're a lot sharper than you look. Yeah.
You don't have to mess around going, you know, they're ready to go. So this, we're good.
Is she in or is she out? No, she's in.
She's in.
All right.
It's ladies' night.
Hang tight while I take us out of here. Don't go anywhere. Okay. Y'all visit us on agesofrock.com. Check out our past episodes and social media links. And until next time, peace out.
Thanks for listening to the Ages of Rock podcast. If you haven't done so already, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, like us on Facebook, and most importantly, tell all your friends. Remember, you're never too old to rock. Until the next episode, peace out, folks.